Welcome back to the Bramble Podcast. I'm Kim. I'm so happy you're here. You know, last week, in last week's episode, we were discussing some tips. I gave you five simple tips to kind of start improving your cooking skills, because you can improve your cooking skills no matter how experienced or how not experienced you are in the kitchen. There are many little things and kind of practices you can start incorporating into your day-to-day cooking so that you get better and better. And I'm talking even reaching restaurant-like cooking skills. So yes, last week we were talking about that. And this week we are going to talk about one of those tips that I mentioned. So in that previous episode, I told you that one of those amazing tips to improve your cooking skills was to start getting familiar with food pairings. And the minute I wrote that down, I started brainstorming in a little piece of paper with all of the, you know, just classic food pairings that I absolutely love and others that I've kind of discovered along the way. And I got too excited, so I decided that this had to be today's episode. Now, today I'm kind of struggling with a little bit of a cold, so you might hear that my voice isn't, you know, my usual voice, so apologies for that. But, you know, I can't miss our date. I can't miss our Thursday date. I'm sorry, but I just wanted to just get here and, you know, just give you all of these delicious ideas, because I'm going to give you not only the ideas for classic delicious food pairings, including some that you may have never heard of before, but I'm also teaching you I'm giving you like a one-line dish that you can prepare that is really simple using this food pairing. So it's going to be filled with meal ideas as well. So this is a great episode to kind of go into that little tip I gave you last week, but also a great episode if you don't know what you're going to cook for lunch or for dinner tonight. If you have a couple of these ingredients, I'm going to give you some great, great kind of choices. All right, So I got so excited last week that I just started going at it and making a huge list. It's so big that I've divided it into part one and part two. We're going to get to part two in a future episode, but today with part one, I'm giving you a ton. So, you know, food pairings, and that means foods that just go together like two little peas in a pod, are what have really helped me kind of elevate my cooking, I think, the most, especially as a recipe creator, because, you know, 90% of the time I'm not cooking, you know, tried and true recipes that I've developed or that other people have developed. 90% of the time I am developing new ones. So dinner and lunches here at our house are always changing and they're always different because I've just got these new ideas. So I want to test them out. And, you know, by the time a recipe reaches you, either from our newsletter or our YouTube channel, or especially our online program where we put most of our recipes, by the time it reaches you, it has been tested so many times and with little tweaks and changes. And, you know, the best thing, the most important thing that has helped me kind of create great, delicious recipes is understanding these duos, these food pairings. So yes, I'm constantly developing new recipes, and yes, it's an illness, and yes, my husband is a very happy man when I don't mess up things too much and I'm not too obsessive about one recipe. I remember one time I was trying to nail this burger recipe, and it's been my top nemesis. This has been such a hard recipe to nail because I was trying to create kind of the special effect in the texture, and oh my God, I think we were having burgers for 2 weeks every day. It was crazy, but yeah, that's the way we roll over here at our house. So, you know, when you're on this quest of improving your cooking skills, and when you want to feel more confident in the kitchen and come up with new ideas and kind of eventually learn how to cook without using a recipe, and you've heard me talk about this before, I think it's so important to kind of get confident in the kitchen that you can just step in there, see what you have, and just improvise while you're cooking without having a recipe. This is especially great when you're short on time and you don't want to be measuring out ingredients or making sure that you have every single ingredient for a recipe. So improvisation is really, really great. And when you reach this point of learning how to cook without using a recipe, understanding food pairings is such a fantastic tool. It's really, really one of the best. So now I'm not talking, I want to make sure you understand where I'm coming from. I'm not talking about food and wine pairings, although, you know, these are great too, to learn if you are a great wine lover. This is a topic for another episode, but I'm not talking about food and wine. And I'm also not talking about the traditional and famous food duos, like, for example, peanut butter and jelly, or caramel and sea salt, or French fries and ketchup, or cookies and milk. I'm not talking about these kind of duos or food combinations. In this sense, I'm talking about going back down, right, into basic ingredients, so really, really basic ingredients, and show you which ones go so well together that you can build an entire meal on just a simple flavor combination. That's the idea behind today's episode. Okay, so I'm about to give you the list for part one, the list of my top favorites, and this is gonna be crazy style, okay? So what do I mean by crazy style? I mean that I just got so excited that I simply started writing down and, you know, writing pairings on a piece of paper. There is no order. There is no particular way of organizing them. They're just all mixed in together. And these are just perfect combos to help you in the kitchen. And of course, I'm giving you some simple ways of putting them together so that you can take this information and make something super delicious tonight. Now, I barely scratched the surface with these. There are so many. The list was getting so long that I said, okay, forget it. Part one, part two later. And so, you know, that will be coming in a future episode. So for now, you're going to receive in a second a really handy list of perfect vegan food pairings with the options that I'm about to give you. So let's get right into it because I've got quite a few. So, all right, first one, strawberries and black pepper. Yes, black pepper goes great with lots of fruits. You're gonna hear me mention another one in a second. So I want you to get some strawberries tender, and you can do this by adding a little bit of sugar, or you can also just keep them, you know, in their firm raw state and drizzle them with a little maple syrup, and then add some freshly ground black pepper. It really is incredible. So try it. Give it a try. Whenever you feel like having some strawberries, try to perk them up a little bit with this. The flavor is really going to pop. And remember, when we're looking for fantastic flavors, what we want is to feel satiated, and we want to feel full and satisfied and have that beautiful experience. And the great thing is that these little pairings can elevate a simple ingredient like a strawberry, although, you know, strawberries are good with practically anything, right? All right, another one, also with strawberries, is strawberries and balsamic vinegar. I think you've heard me mention this one before, because I add them to my salads a lot. So I make a salad, especially with arugula or some spinach, raw spinach, and I include sliced strawberries, and just make sure that the dressing you use for that salad includes balsamic vinegar. And you can also make them marinated. So just take the sliced strawberries and marinate them in a kind of combo of balsamic vinegar and sugar. Or you can just take any dish you're making with strawberries and drizzle them with a balsamic reduction. This is when you cook your balsamic vinegar so long that it reduces and it makes this thick syrup. You've seen it in restaurants where they drizzle it on top of dishes and it's kind of tangy, but it's mostly sweet. Oh my God. With strawberries, yes, delicious. Okay. Next up, also a fruit and also with black pepper, we're talking about pineapple. So this combo has three. I cheated in some of these. It's not just two, but three things. So here, the perfect pairing is pineapple, maple syrup, and black pepper. So what I want you to do with this one is I want you to take some pineapple slices or slabs. I want you to brush them with maple syrup and grill them. So you put them on the grill, and as they're charring up, they're getting those nice grill marks, you're gonna brush them with the maple syrup and you're gonna sprinkle them with black pepper, and you just cook them until they're caramelized. And if you want, upon serving, you can add a little bit more. Yum, 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 yum. All right, next up is a classic. I think anybody that loves potatoes has felt this at some point if you've had this combination. Potatoes and rosemary. This is like, oh my God, a match made in heaven. I always make sure that I have rosemary in my little vegetable, you know, quote unquote garden, because it's not really a garden. It's just potted plants in my terrace. But I have a lot of herbs and some veggies out there. So I always have rosemary because I am obsessed with potatoes. So I roast some potatoes with lots of chopped rosemary, and it's just the perfect combination. You can also put the whole sprigs of rosemary in there with the potatoes. add some sea salt, pepper. You can use a little oil for caramelizing, or follow our crispy oil-free potato recipe, which is at bramble.com and in our YouTube channel. And just the rosemary gives this amazing aroma and flavor. Perfect, perfect. Always, this is a great tip, always bruise your rosemary. That means you either chop it so that it releases those essential oils and you get that flavor, or if you're using the whole sprigs, just bang it a little bit with the back of your knife. So the part where you hold it with, you just bang it, or you can also turn the blade upside down and bang it with that. Be careful, of course, with that blade, but it really helps. It helps release these juices. This is kind of like smashing garlic. You really want to do this whenever you're using garlic. It really helps kind of intensify that flavor. All right, so that was potatoes and rosemary. Now we're moving on to another one of my favorites, especially now for fall. It's so good. And this is butternut squash and sage. And quite frankly, well, butternut squash is my favorite, but you can do this with any type of pumpkin or hardy squash. So not so much zucchini, although I'm sure that's also good, but you know, the harder squashes. All right, so previously roasted until tender, you get that butternut squash in the oven, you tenderize it, you roast it, get it really nice and soft. And then once it's out, you can saute it in a pan with a little bit of non-dairy butter, sage leaves, and if you're feeling fancy, you can add to this pan while that is sauteing, add some cooked gnocchi. Gnocchi is that little thing we have in Italian restaurants. It's a little kind of potato dumpling. If you haven't had it before, oh my God, you have homework, because it's one of my favorite things. In fact, I had them for dinner last night. I was feeling so horrible with my cold that hubby took me out to our little local Italian place to have a beautiful plate of gnocchi with a fresh tomato and basil sauce. Oh, so good. But now we're talking about gnocchi with butternut squash and sage. This is a recipe we're going to be filming at some point, so keep an eye out for that. So the idea, and you can also, of course, just saute the butternut squash, but it's going to take longer. So I like to roast it, keep it roasted. Sometimes I just roast a big bunch when I'm batch cooking, and then I use it throughout the week. So you chop it in however size or shape you like, and you combine it in the saute pan with the butter and the sage leaves and the gnocchi if you want to add the gnocchi. The idea is to fry up those sage leaves. So good. It's so good. It's the perfect combination. I don't know what it is about these two flavors. Okay, this is my current obsession. I'm putting it into almost all my salad dressings lately, and it's Dijon mustard, lemon juice, and dried tarragon. You can use fresh tarragon, of course, as well, but sometimes fresh tarragon is a little harder to find. So dried is perfectly acceptable for the uses I'm going to recommend. So this makes the best salad dressing, and you can make an oil-free salad dressing with this. So all you have to do is combine in a little jar or a little bowl a little bit of Dijon mustard, some lemon juice, the dried tarragon, and, you know, use a generous amount of the tarragon. And you can add a little bit of agave or maple syrup, and then you use water instead of oil to thin it out, because it's got such a big flavor punch that you really don't need anything else. And just, you know, go easy on the water as you taste so that you can still feel all of those flavors. And another delicious thing that you can do with this is that this is the perfect sauce on crispy tofu. So if you're grilling up some tofu or you're making crispy tofu, at the end, drench it in that sauce, and it is divine. It's so good. This is really, really delicious. All right, now next up, this is also going to be, I just get so excited. You're not looking at my list, but I am, and it's getting better and better. So our next kind of pairing is one of my fall favorites, and this is also going to be a video soon for our online members, our program members. It's Brussels sprouts and red grapes. Now, you can make so many varieties of this dish. This is a classic pairing, and it is simply delicious. I'm going to teach you just the basic right now, basic way to do it. So what you want to do is you want to roast the Brussels sprouts halved. You cut them in half so they get a little surface area there for getting nice and brown. You roast them together, the red grapes and the Brussels sprouts, with a little oil, a little sea salt and pepper, and then you just roast them in the oven until they are tender, but the Brussels sprouts are still crisp. You never want to cook sprouts until they are mush. That is like culinary, you know, just suicide. It's horrible. Brussels sprouts are not meant to be mushy. They are not meant to be boiled, okay? I'm just giving you that tip right now. Roasting Brussels sprouts, that's the way to go. Okay, another one that is great, and this is something I discovered many years ago in a restaurant I went to in Venezuela, is pumpkin and tangerine. Now, this is especially good pureed together in a soup with some vegetable broth. So you cook the pumpkin in some vegetable broth with some onions and garlic, sea salt, pepper, any flavorings you want to add. And then once that is tender, you add that to a blender and you add in one or two tangerines. And the combination of flavors is so good. The tangerine is gonna add a little bit of citrus, but also sweetness. It just pairs really well together. And then once that is very silky smooth, you're going to serve it and top it with a little bit of non-dairy sour cream and some chives. Oh, yummy, this is so delicious. This is one of your quick fixes, by the way, in the online program. So you get a step-by-step guide on how to make this beauty and little delicious things you can do with it. Okay, so next up. This one, I don't know, you know, I thought of not including it because it's kind of so obvious now. I think it's the trendiest food item this year, possibly. But I thought, if I don't include it, you know, what am I doing? So this pairing is avocado and whole wheat toast. Who hasn't had this year a delicious piece of avocado toast? It's the greatest thing. It's the trendiest breakfast staple right now, but I just had to mention it. So here, all you have to do is mash in some avocado with a bit of lime juice. Of course, you need a very ripe avocado, a bit of lime juice, some lemon juice. I mean, lime juice or lemon juice, not both. You choose whatever you have. Add some sea salt, and then you just spread it on toast. And then what I love to do is I like to add some greens. So on top of that, I like to put some arugula or some fresh cilantro. So good. Okay, next up, another classic, carrot and ginger. Now, these two go perfect together in soups and in stir fries, but especially in an Asian style dressing with some green apple, some lemon juice, some rice vinegar, and some sesame oil. And they all, you kind of puree all of that in a blender, you know, I'll say that again. It's the carrot, so grated carrot, and some green apple, some grated ginger, lemon juice, rice vinegar, and sesame oil. And that all gets pureed in a blender, and you get this beautiful orange sauce that is so yummy. It's perfect in salads, it's perfect for stir fries, it's really versatile and really, really good. I used to go to this restaurant, Benihana. If you were a meat eater before, a fish eater before, you might know what this restaurant is all about, right? They got this big kind of grill in the center of the table. You sit with other people and they grill up some, you know, lots of non-vegan stuff. But this restaurant, they served a little salad, a very basic green salad at the beginning of the meal. And it always had this carrot and ginger dressing. So if you used to love that little dressing that came with that, it's also very typical, at least in New York, to see this when you order kind of a little sushi platter or something like that. And it comes with, you can either choose salad or miso soup. The salad, the little salad that is basically just a green salad, the star of that salad is this carrot and ginger dressing. So really good. Really, really good. If you love that little dressing that comes in those dishes, this is the one for you. And it's just really easy. You just puree it in a blender. Okay, another one, and this one is one that a lot of people don't know about. And I learned this from a dinner party I went to where the hostess made the most incredible sauce. This was also in my pre-vegan days. This was a sauce for fish, but I've since used it on anything I can get my hands on. So this combo is cinnamon and lemon juice, and it goes really well together. In fact, adding cinnamon to salad dressings is a good idea because cinnamon actually just plays really well with acidic ingredients. It just goes, there's something about that spice. It just works. So what I do is I just whisk these two together as part of a marinade or a dressing with some olive oil, a little sea salt and pepper, some very finely minced shallots or garlic, but really, really small, you know, really, really small. You don't want it to overpower or have a bite of that, but you just want it to flavor that liquid, that marinade or that dressing. And you can also add additional citrus juices like grapefruit juice or blood orange juice. Really good with this. It's not a very well-known pairing, but it's dreamy. It's so good. All right, next up, another one that is great for fall is red cabbage and apples with the little addition of apple cider vinegar. Now, the way you do this, and this is a recipe we have in our online program with lots of other goodies, so I'm just giving you the basic version now, but if you're a member, you have that in your sides section of the program. So you braise the red cabbage in a pan with some caramelized onions, some pecans or dried cranberries or raisins, and you just let that braise in a little bit of liquid. And always, this is a tip that I'm giving you for whenever you are cooking with anything that's red, especially red cabbage, always add a splash of apple cider vinegar, because this is going to not only boost the flavor, but it's going to intensify the color of the red cabbage. Same thing goes whenever you're cooking something with red onion. If you want a bright red onion, add some vinegar. My favorite is apple cider vinegar because it doesn't add that kind of wine taste. It's just very, it's kind of very mild. So this is my favorite. This is why when you get that little onion, red onion topping on tacos, that has been kind of marinating in a little bit of vinegar. So that's a little tip right there. Purple stuff, red stuff gets boosted. Those little, I can't remember what the antioxidant is called in these red veggies, but it gets boosted with the addition of acidic ingredients. So just red cabbage and apples, it's so good. Even if you're using the red cabbage raw and you're not braising it, even raw in, let's say, I don't know, like a kind of fall slaw. Oh, that sounds good, right? All right, we are getting into the world of peanut butter. So peanut butter is one of these foods that it just goes so great with so many things. You're going to hear it mentioned in a lot of different pairings today. So with peanut butter and chocolate, this is just the perfect combo in any dessert. But my favorite way of using these two together in dessert is to create a chocolate sauce. So you just melt some dark chocolate. You can add a little bit of non-dairy milk to kind of soften it up. And you add that peanut butter, a little bit of vanilla. Vanilla and chocolate is another one of those pairings. Maybe it's mentioned in this list a little further down. I don't remember if I included it. So just combine these, make a really creamy sauce, and then you use that sauce on top of fruit or as a kind of sauce for fruit tarts. Oh, so good. It's really decadent. It's so good. Okay, next up, oatmeal. We're going to talk about breakfast too, right? So oatmeal and, wait for it, shredded coconut. This is addicting. It's so good. It's been kind of a usual suspect for me recently. So, you know, there's just nothing like a little bowl of warm oatmeal in the morning with a drizzle of maple syrup, some chopped fruit, and my favorites for this particular dish when I'm using the coconut is some chopped peaches or pineapple and some banana. So peaches or pineapple and also banana. And then you top it with all these delicious goodies, and then you sprinkle it generously with unsweetened coconut flakes. The texture combination and the flavor combination is wild. So I highly recommend that you do that. It's really good. With the pineapple, you're basically having a little piña colada for breakfast with your oatmeal. Healthy style and virgin, of course. Okay, next up on the list is something that I actually mentioned in last week's episode when I was mentioning food pairings. I gave it as an example, and it's a really classic one. It's chocolate and raspberries. Really good. This is a famous pairing for a reason. So my favorite way to combine these two is that you can just top any chocolate dessert with some fresh berries and just dig in. It goes really great together if you're having a chocolate tart or you're having chocolate pudding, chocolate mousse, or chocolate creme brulee. And yes, you can make all of these vegan, by the way. You know, right, that I make anything vegan. So just top it with some fresh raspberries, and that's delicious. But you can also create, this is one of my favorite ways, you can create a raspberry sauce in a pan, in a little pot. And so just combining some raspberries, for example, a little bit of water, a sweetener like maple syrup, and you can add some chia seeds to kind of help gel it up, and then you blend everything together. And this makes a quick sauce for anything from pancakes to waffles, and it's perfect for topping a rich chocolate cake or tart or dessert, especially if you have these rich kind of raw chocolate tarts. If you like that kind of thing, you can top it with this raspberry sauce. And for example, oh, this is such a good idea. You can top it with, like a chocolate cheesecake. You can top it with this sauce. Next up is chocolate and chili powder, or chocolate and cayenne pepper, another classic you might have heard of. This is a great combination in, for example, moles. Moles are this Mexican style sweet and spicy sauce with a chocolate base. And if you like this, you know, this sauce is not for everybody. I've tasted it. Sometimes I like it, and sometimes I think they just messed it up. So this is something you have to kind of have an inclination for, it, this rich chocolate sauce for something savory, because it's not used for desserts. So you can make this combination of the chocolate and the chili powder or the cayenne pepper to make a mole, or you can use it to make Mexican hot chocolate. So the only thing you have to do is you just make your hot cocoa like you always do, and you add a pinch of cayenne or a pinch of chili powder, and that's it. Really easy. And this goes great as well with our next pairing, which is chocolate and sea salt. So sea salt can boost the natural flavors in cocoa and in chocolate. I don't know if you knew that, but it really makes a big difference. So whenever you are making a dessert, you need to add sea salt. Whenever you're making hot cocoa or chocolate sauces to get this flavor powerhouse, you need to add sea salt. In fact, I'm gonna go right here and say, whenever you're making a dessert, add some sea salt, just a pinch. If you're just creating something if you find a recipe, they almost always include sea salt. But if you're making something, you know, that's from your own creation, or you're just getting creative in the kitchen, add sea salt. It's very important to balance out flavors. Okay, now we're getting back into the savory realm, just for one, because then we have another sweet one. So a really delicious savory kind of combo is potatoes and some truffle oil. Of course, it also applies for potatoes and truffles, but most of us aren't cooking with truffles, so truffle oil is a great option. My favorite way to do it is to just roast some potatoes in the oven until they're nice and crispy, and then you just, when you're serving it, right at the table, you drizzle with a little bit of truffle oil. So good. Another great option is a potato and rosemary pizza. So if you've ever had this non-traditional pizza where, you know, the toppings for the pizza are actually thinly sliced potatoes and lots of rosemary, this is amazing drizzled with truffle oil. If you haven't had this pizza before, I highly recommend it. Okay, back to sweet. We have banana and peanut butter. You probably tried this and you know that it's a big hit. So this is really easy. It's one of my favorite snacks. All you have to do is cut up some banana chunks. So, you know, not huge chunks, just bigger than a slice so that it's kind of bite-sized. And you top that little slice with a little bit of peanut butter, and then you can sprinkle it with chia or hemp seeds as a snack. Now, this isn't something that I invented. This is something that is a well-known snack. You're gonna love it. It's just a classic. All right, next up, black beans and cumin. So you know that whenever I teach you anything with black beans, I almost always add cumin, and it's because these two go so well together. So here's a simple way of combining these two. You just make a simple saute in a pan of some chopped onions and peppers and garlic. You add in those black beans, you add in some cumin. You don't even have to measure this, you guys. You add in the cumin, and then you add a little lime juice. And this is the perfect filling for tortillas. Now, once everything is in the pan, that those beans and the vegetables and the cumin and the lime juice, you can add a little bit of water or veggie broth to create a bit of a sauce. So the beans are gonna kind of give so much starch to that liquid that you add, that in seconds you're gonna have a rich sauce, and it's really great, especially if you like this kind of more chili-like consistency without it being a chili. It's not as you know, it's not as rich as that, but it's so good. So you add this inside of a tortilla, you add a dollop of guacamole, some salsa, and you're just going to fall in love. It's really great. This is a match made in heaven. All right, next up, sweet potatoes and cinnamon. I love cinnamon. Have you noticed? I love cinnamon, and I think it's the spice I run out of the most in my spice cabinet. I have to keep adding it in. Same goes for cumin and garlic powder. I'm always buying those because I just use so much of them. All right, so sweet potatoes and cinnamon. So here's a great idea. You just roast some sweet potato cubes in the oven. You can toss these with some high heat oil or some veggie broth if you want to keep them oil free. And you just sprinkle them with sea salt, pepper, paprika, and cinnamon. And this is so good. Then you serve them as a side to any dish, but especially with some hummus for dipping as a snack. So these sweet potatoes with cinnamon with some hummus, especially if that hummus, if you like your hummus with a little cumin and with a little spice, it's the perfect, perfect, perfect snack. So good. Okay, another classic, mushrooms and garlic. We're gonna go through a mushroom trio right now. So mushrooms and garlic is the first one. And here, a simple saute of mushrooms, garlic, fresh parsley, and olive oil is a dream. And you can add a little bit of citrus in the form of lemon juice at the very end if you want to. This is such a classic side. It's so good. It's really simple to make too. Another one similar is mushrooms and oregano. This is something that you normally don't kind of match, right? I always used to think of mushrooms and parsley, but mushrooms and oregano really, really, they're really delicious. So all you have to do for this one is a little variation. So you just saute, or you can also roast, large pieces of mushrooms. So if you have these large mushrooms, you just quarter them or cut them into bite-sized pieces, but larger than just a slice. And you add some oregano and some lemon juice towards the end of the cooking time. So you just saute these in a little bit of olive oil or any kind of oil that you like. And you just saute these with salt and pepper. Once they're tender, you add that oregano and that lemon juice at the very end of the cooking time. Really good. All right, next up, mushrooms and tamari soy sauce. You know, now you can also use regular soy sauce. Tamari soy sauce just has kind of a little bit of a richer flavor, richer consistency, and it's gluten-free if that's a concern. So here, my favorite for this is just some shiitake mushrooms. You slice them up, you saute them in the pan, and then you deglaze that pan with some tamari soy sauce and you serve them. It's so good that I sometimes have this for breakfast. If you follow us on Instagram, and by the way, go over to Instagram and give us a follow. And let us know that you're an avid listener of the podcast so I can follow you back and we can, you know, just exchange some recipe ideas together through Instagram. So if you might have seen that sometimes I have a piece of avocado toast, and on the side I have some steamed kale and some shiitake mushrooms. All of this for breakfast. Yeah, it happens sometimes. I'm kind of a savory breakfast eater, except for jam, strawberry jam, which is my favorite. All right, so this is really easy. You just deglaze the pan with that tamari, and it's so good. Okay, next up is a total Italian classic combo, and it's eggplant and tomatoes. Now, this is the base for the famous ratatouille, which is also a very famous dish from France. But eggplant and tomatoes in all of Italy is something that very often goes together, and for good reason. So what you can do with this combo is you can make a delicious eggplant lasagna where the eggplant is actually kind of substituting your pasta, or you can use regular pasta too, whatever you like. And you just make the lasagna with a very rich marinara sauce. Or another great idea is to use thinly grilled eggplant as cannelloni. So you use it as cannelloni or manicotti, whatever you like, and you stuff it with tofu and spinach ricotta. So you make a tofu and spinach ricotta, you roll that with that little piece of eggplant, thinly sliced and grilled, previously grilled, and then you bake all of these little rolls in an oven-proof baking dish, a casserole dish, with a rich tomato ragu on top. You can even add mushrooms to that tomato ragu. Oh, that's so good. I get excited just listening to that. I think I might make that for lunch today. It sounds really good. Okay, next one is bok choy and umeboshi plum vinegar. If you haven't tried umeboshi, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. You can let me know if you are familiar with the correct one, but umeboshi plum vinegar is something that you can find in health food stores or in the Asian part of your supermarket. And it's this vinegar made with these little Japanese plums that are really flavorful. It's kind of salty and tangy, and it's got these sweet notes too. It's really fantastic. It adds a really, really rich taste to your food, and it goes great with bok choy. So you can just grill up thick slices of bok choy until they turn bright green and they're tender. And then at the very end, right before serving, you drizzle it with a bit of sesame oil and the umeboshi vinegar. And that's it. That's it. So these little Japanese plums, they really create this amazing thing. You can also buy umeboshi paste and use it for salad dressings just a little bit because it's strong. It's very powerful. All right, peas and onions. We're going old school, totally old school, but please don't buy those canned peas unless you absolutely have to. I always prefer frozen peas, and of course fresh peas are also a dream, but frozen peas are they're just so versatile and so simple, and they retain all of their nutrition. So peas and onions, a classic combo. So just get some onions sizzling and nice and golden brown in a pan, then add your peas. And then if you want to get really fancy, this is kind of a twist on a very typical Spanish dish, you just add some crumbled tempeh bacon on top. Really good. All right, next up, this is a new favorite of mine because I saw this in a YouTube video. It's the combination of pumpkin and peanut butter. Who would have thought? This is something I had never thought of combining these two together. And all you have to do for a perfect snack is to roast some pumpkin in wedges. So you cut the pumpkin in wedges or in big pieces. Imagine the size of a small salad plate or something like that. A big chunk of that pumpkin with that skin on. You roast that in the oven. You can add a little bit of cinnamon or paprika or anything you like. And once it's out of the oven and it's nice and tender, you add a bit of peanut butter on top. You add some cinnamon and a drizzle of maple syrup. And that's a very healthy snack or dessert. It's really scrumptious. This was such a great discovery for me, but I can't take credit for it. Okay, next up, spinach and pomegranate seeds. Really good combo. And you know, pomegranate seeds are so healthy for you. They're filled with antioxidants. So this is a great option. And what I like to do is I just make a salad with spinach. Baby spinach is my favorite for salads. And then you just sprinkle with some pomegranate seeds. You can add anything else to that salad, of course. It just doesn't have to be these two ingredients and nothing else. Add any raw veggies you liked, cooked veggies, some grilled onions, grilled mushrooms, I'm sorry, go great with this salad. And then you just drizzle a little balsamic, which goes great with this pairing, really great with this combination. Okay, next up is some corn, lime, and chili powder. This is a total Mexican classic combo, and you can just recreate this little kind of Mexican street food, which is to cook usually grilled, corn on the cob, and you make a little kind of mayonnaise, non-dairy mayonnaise, with some chipotle powder or chipotle paste, some chili powder. You make it nice and spicy, and you serve your grilled corn with that little mayo. You just spread it like if it was the butter you were adding to the corn, and you drizzle fresh lime juice as you're eating it. It's my favorite. It's one of my favorites. It's really an amazing combination. Really good. You can thank Mexico for that one. All right, next up, wild rice and pine nuts. So good. Now, if pine nuts are too expensive where you live, you can also substitute slivered almonds, something like that, something crunchy, but pine nuts are my favorite. So this is almost as much about flavor as it is about texture. Now, you won't believe how well these go together. So you just cook up your wild rice according to the package directions. You toast some pine nuts in a pan and you combine these two together. You can also add raisins or dried cranberries, and you have the perfect fall side dish. Really, really amazing. Okay, one of my favorites, Asian noodles and cilantro. Yes, this is the perfect combination. So next time you're making a soba noodle salad or your favorite pad thai recipe, I want you to top it with lots of fresh cilantro on top. Just wash it, dry it well, put it on top of your dish, and just eat it as you go. With every bite, just grab a couple of cilantro leaves. It's just a match made in heaven, not only in texture, but especially in flavor. Cilantro goes really well with Asian dishes. Okay, one that I'm sure any sushi lover around is going to love is the combo of avocado and nori seaweed. And this is the great thing I'm going to teach you. This has become a typical snack at my house recently because you don't have to make a whole sushi platter to enjoy this combo. You can just, of course, include avocado when you make your nori sushi rolls, but you can also do what I do, which is to simply wrap lots of raw vegetables, including my two favorites, which are shredded carrot and, of course, that avocado inside, and you roll up that nori like if it was a burrito. Now, what you do want to do is you want to season those veggies. You can add a little bit of sea salt and some lemon juice before you wrap it up, or you can also serve it with soy sauce, but it gets a little messy, so I prefer that little sea salt and lemon juice trick before I wrap them. And then you can just cut them in half and just dig in. It's a great snack. It's really good. It's also a great way to have your salads if you're bored with salads. Anything goes great wrapped in a nori sheet. I learned that from Alicia Silverstone's amazing book, The Kind Diet. She wraps anything in nori wraps. In fact, she has said that there are two things she packs with her whenever she travels, and it's her famous Rice Krispies treats. The recipe is in her book. And nori sheets, because she says you can wrap any leftovers in nori, and I happen to agree. It's really good. All right, now we're going back to dessert realm. I told you this list was crazy and all over the place, right? But it's good because you get a little mix. So strawberry and rhubarb. You know this is a pairing because if you haven't heard of strawberry and rhubarb pie, you haven't been a pie lover. I'm sorry, this is just a perfect combination, and it's just a classic for a reason. So it's perfect as a filling for pies when you cook these down, or it's also delicious in a homemade jam. So you can make homemade jam with strawberry and rhubarb. So good. All right, another classic that you may have eaten many times at restaurants, or you may have seen on television if you watch cooking shows, is pears and wine. So all you have to do is cook your pears. I love it with little small pears because the presentation is so beautiful. You cook your pears in a pot with some red wine, the scrapings of a vanilla bean. So you open up the vanilla bean and you scrape it with a knife. You add those little scrapes in. That's what has the flavor. And you add some sugar and you have the most decadent and elegant dessert. And the beautiful thing about this is that pear soaks up that color. And it's the most beautiful sight. It's so beautiful. It's less rich than other desserts. So if you're trying to watch your desserts and your sugar intake, just add a little bit of sugar. It's going to be really good. You can serve it with a little bit of cashew cream cheese or some non-dairy ice cream if you want to go a little bit naughtier. Really good and really simple dessert. It's really beautiful. And it might seem simple at first, but when people dig in, they love it. It's really, really good. I remember that it was a MasterChef finale where somebody made these pears and I couldn't believe that they were actually making these simple pears in the finale. And I think all of the judges agreed that it was their favorite out of all the desserts, out of the two desserts that were made. And I'm not sure if that person won, but the dessert definitely won the round of desserts. So it's really, really elegant and beautiful. Okay. One of my favorites, this one I learned from Deliciously Ella and her wonderful books. Her books are fantastic. We might talk about them in another episode and just, you know, toot her horn a little bit, but you have to go get these books. They're filled with so many simple recipes. So good. And she snacks on dates stuffed with peanut butter. And this is now Carlos's favorite snack in the whole entire world. If there aren't dates or peanut butter in the house, he kind of gets, he starts getting a little antsy. So just, this is my, our daily go-to snack or whenever we want a sweet bite without having a rich dessert. So just fill up a pita date with a bit of peanut butter and eat it. That's it. It's as simple as that. So you can thank Deliciously Ella, Ella Woodward, that's her name, and just check out her books. They're fantastic and filled with really simple preparations and simple tips. Really good. Okay, we're almost getting to the end. This is a long list and you won't believe how many I'm not mentioning here and I'm leaving for part two. So there's so much to say about food pairings. This is a topic that gets me really excited. Have you noticed? I just love it. So next up on our list is plums and mustard. Now all you have to do for this is just add some sliced plums to your salads when you're using a mustard-based dressing. It goes really great also with the mustard, lemon, and tarragon pairing that I mentioned before with that little salad dressing made with these three ingredients. Add in some plums whenever you're making a salad using mustard. Really good. All right, another one that you can use for salads or just as a snack or as a part of a very elegant vegan cheese platter are figs, cashew cheese, and balsamic. And you, this can be balsamic vinegar or a balsamic reduction, that's even better. So it's the perfect combo next to some wine or on top of an arugula or spinach salad with some slivered almonds. Really good. Okay, this is another one that people don't normally associate, and it's peaches and tomatoes. They go really well together, partly because of the texture combo, but also because of the flavor. So all you have to do, whenever you're making salsa for tacos or burritos, add a little bit of chopped peach, really small. It's gonna add sweetness, texture. It's really good. It's really, you're gonna love it. It's, we've all heard of mango salsa, right? This is the same thing, but with peaches. Okay, next up, lentils or beans and bay leaves. This is another thing you might have heard from me before. Bay leaves and lentils or beans are incredible together, especially lentils and bay leaves. So whenever I make a soup, a lentil soup, I add some bay leaves. Now add a few, okay? Not just that one bay leaf per pot nonsense that you're gonna see in lots of books. No, add two or three. And, you know, whenever you are cooking your beans from scratch or your lentils from scratch or making soup or making chili, add that. It's really flavorful, especially when bay leaves spend enough time in a pot cooking. So when it's cooking for a very long time, like in the case of cooking beans, it really flavors that liquid or that stew and it just adds a punch of flavor. It's really, really amazing. Okay, this one, now I'm going to tell you one that comes from my childhood. This was one of my my mom's favorite food pairings, and it's watercress greens and mandarin orange segments. So those little kind of Asian mandarin orange segments. And of course, you can also use orange and blood orange if you don't have the little typical Asian segments. Now, you just make a simple salad with lots of watercress and you can combine that with arugula. These go really nicely together. And some very thinly sliced red onion, some slivered almonds, the mandarin oranges, and then you just use any type of Asian style sesame dressing. So any type of dressing with a little sesame oil and maybe a little soy sauce, and it is the bomb. It's so good. All right, this one is something that is typical, it was typical in my house, but I think because it's mostly typical from in Colombia, but my grandfather was born in Brazil, but his second wife was Colombian. And I used to have this a lot at their house, and it's really a great pairing, and it's rice and coconut. This is a classic duo. And you can make a lot of things with this. You can make a savory and sweet rice by adding some coconut flakes and a little coconut cream and a bit of your favorite sweetener when you're cooking your rice. So you can make this as a traditional rice for savory dishes. You can top it with toasted coconut shreds, and you know, spicy curries really go great with this dish. This is what we used to, what I used to have at my house when my mom made it. It was the coconut rice with some curry next to it. Now this is a great way, but you can also make kind of rice pudding with lots of coconut milk and lots of coconut flakes and sweetener and some cinnamon. So it can go a long way, but don't diss it for savory purposes because it's really, really good. So that's a Colombian classic for you right there. All right, next up, lentils and cabbage. Now, you can blame my Eastern European roots, my Russian roots and Polish roots for this one, not because it perhaps particularly went with lentils. These dishes usually involved meat, but whenever we wanted to substitute this at home with something that wasn't meat-based, we used lentils. So you just make delicious stuffed cabbage rolls. And the way you do this is you steam the cabbage leaves. You leave them intact because they have to be really big to fill them up. And you fill up these rolls with lentils and cooked lentils and brown rice. You roll them up. You put them all side by side in a casserole dish and you top everything with a hearty kind of ragu or marinara sauce. And it really goes well together. This tomato, lentil, and cabbage combo, really, really, really good. All right, next up, eggplant and miso. So miso paste, you know, what we use to make miso soup, especially if you buy the real miso paste, not the little envelopes that you kind of, the packets that you make instant miso soup with, but the real miso. Miso goes great with eggplant. So what you can do is you marinate the eggplant. You can make squares, cubes, slices, anything you like with that eggplant. And you marinate that in a teriyaki or an Asian style sauce that includes that miso paste. Miso paste is going to provide a great umami flavor, savory flavor, some sweet notes, really good. So once you have this marinating for a while, you can grill the pieces or you can add them to little kebabs and roast them in the oven, whatever you like. And you can also, this is one of my favorites, you can make eggplant tempura and then serve it with an Asian miso sauce for dipping. Really good. All right, last one. It's a tribute to my home country of Venezuela. I had to mention this, especially if you are not familiar with this root vegetable. And it's what in English is called yucca or cassava root. And it's this long, long root that is very white in the center and really, really brown in the outside. So the pairing for today, our last pairing, is this yucca or cassava, cooked of course, and parsley. It's a match made in heaven. This is such a traditional side in Venezuela whenever people have barbecues, or it's just a typical side. And you can make it completely vegan because the only non-vegan thing that it can have is butter. But many people, in fact, in Venezuela use margarine to make it. So it's non-dairy butter. All right, so what you do is you take this yucca, and by the way, in Spanish it's called yuca, but in English, yucca. You peel it. You peel that thick brown skin. And you can boil or steam the peeled yucca until it's tender. Now you have to be careful because if you tenderize it too much, it will literally disappear. It will disappear into the water. So just you have to keep a watchful eye. And the time, I can't give you the time because it will depend on how fresh that yucca piece was. Some take longer, some take shorter times. So once that is tender, you drain it of that liquid and you toss the big pieces in a bit of non-dairy butter. Lots and lots of finely chopped parsley, some sea salt, some pepper, and you're gonna go straight to heaven and you're gonna love me forever. It's so good. All right, so that's it, everybody. Thank you so much for all of your patience with my craziness with this list. We're gonna have part two in a future episode, not next week, because you know I like to vary it up for you. And I want you to start getting used to these pairings and put them into practice, use some of them, see what you like. And of course, tell me which ones you tried and how you made them, what you prepared, and show me your pictures. That's also great. Do it on Instagram. Tag us anywhere, social media. Do it in the post that goes with this episode. And of course, just stay tuned for that part two. We'll be talking about lots more delicious food pairings and food combos and what you can prepare with them. So, you know, just keep these in mind. It will help you get super creative with your plant-based meals, even if you're not using a recipe. So I hope you love these. Don't forget to check out our online program if you're new to this podcast, because there it's just like, you know, culinary training at its finest, all in video, all really friendly and easy. So if you're getting started with plant-based cooking and you also want to kind of improve your relationship with food, learn how to make proper choices without dieting or restricting in any way, just head on over to mybrownbowl.com. or to brownbull.com. You can access anywhere and check that out. All right, everybody, that's it for today. I'm going to go make those little, you know, eggplant rolls, eggplant cannelloni, because it sounded so good. I'm going to see if I have the ingredients. And I'll see you again, of course, next week on Thursday. That's our day. Hope you have a good one. Bye-bye.